Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
That cold case you're listening to? Nasty stuff. But you know what else is a crime? Missing even a moment of whatever you're doing to go on a drink run. Luckily, there's Drizly, the number one app for alcohol delivery. With Drizly, you can compare prices on the biggest selection of beer, wine, and spirits, then get them delivered in under 60 minutes. So download the Drizly app or go to drizly.com. That's DRIZLY.com today.
Welcome to Cobras and Fire. It's our top five albums of 2019, people. Once again, we prove rock is not dead.
I heard the rumors too. Bad news for me and you. They say it's time for something.
Welcome to Cobras and Fire. My name is Baco, and I am joined by the top five Loose Cannon. How are you this evening?
I am excellent. I am very pleased to be kicking off episode 199 for more numbers.
Nice. 199. Now, I enjoyed some of the pictures you sent of, we both got a pile of snow, I think, since the last time we've talked. Most of ours is gone. Is yours still around?
Yes, it's never leaving. There's just a that because well, anything basically north of the house is turned to a big sheet of ice. So it's a fucking. By the way, I think salt is a conspiracy. That shit doesn't work that well, right? Oh, you just put it on there.
Absolutely does. Yeah, I use it. I don't know what you're putting it on, but yeah, ice on a sidewalk, it's fantastic.
No, I'm talking about the little salt shaker. You just take it out there and
it does work, but it's not gonna, it's going to take an awful lot more salt.
I use a little sea salt grinder and I make a little 1-inch path. What I like to do. No, yeah. Am I doing it wrong?
Yeah. I'll fill you in on off air on exactly the steps you need to take. There's quite a few that you're missing.
And thus concludes the weather portion of the show. Baco, how do you want to kick off this episode?
Well, today we're going to get into our top five records of the year, the official Cobras and Fire top five. And I assume at some point we'll be talking about some of the less, though I will say more disappointing records of the year, and also give out our own personal lists at some point. But I do want to get into something that made the news this week before we get into it, because it's somebody that we've talked about a little bit on the show, but and an artist that I think we both at least enjoy to some degree as far as the musical output, and that is Kid Rock made some headlines this week.
He did, and I was hoping we could kick the show off with a nice positive message.
Oh, my God. So I assume you saw all the coverage. Did you get a chance to watch the video that was shot?
I did not watch the video. I just looked at the just the whatever. The I saw the summary, and there was quite a few. So I think I've seen them all. Has anything happened since the last part?
There's been some news, but let's catch everybody up to speed. Kid Rock owns a honky tonk in Nashville called Kid Rock's Big Ass Honky Tonk. He went to the Gene Simmons School of Naming Your Business.
Sure.
Apparently they're having bands throughout the night for whatever reason. I'm not real familiar with the venue. I mean, I've been a block away from it. I've seen it from the outside, but other than that, I don't know anything about it. But it sounds like he was basically kind of emceeing between bands, and he got drunker and drunker through the night. And I have no idea what time of the night it was, but at a certain point he got up there and just started shooting his mouth off about Oprah Winfrey and Joy Behar and Kathy Lee Gifford for some reason. And of course, you know, this day and age, it was all caught on video, and then TMZ jumped on it and all sorts of good stuff. I actually have some of the quotes from the thing. The audio from the video is you need subtitles, so I don't know. Go look it up if you like to see it. You're just going to see a clearly fucking inebriated Kid Rock with a microphone. But he says, "I'm not a bad guy. I'm just an honest guy that says, hey, I don't like Oprah Winfrey or Joy Behar. They can suck dick sideways. Sorry, Mom. Fuck Oprah. Fuck Kathy Lee Gifford. I'm not the bad guy in the equation. I'm the fucking guy you want. Like, hey, he's pretty cool. Oprah Winfrey is like, hey, I just want women to believe in this shit. Fuck her. She can suck dick sideways." So he's going back to that quite a bit here. That seems to be his go-to line right now. And if you say that, people say, hey, I'm pretty sure Kid Rock's a racist. And I'm like, okay, fine. Fuck off.
You know, the one thing that offends me the most about this statement so far is the fact he left out Sharon Osbourne.
You know, and eventually he goes back to saying he likes Kathy Lee Gifford. So I think he's getting his talk show host mixed up here a little bit. I don't get, like, why was Oprah Winfrey on his mind right then? You know what I mean? It was the, I mean, she's been retired for a few years. Why her of all people? And, you know, it's like, I mean, I can't sit through the Oprah Winfrey show without getting a little nauseated, although it's not even a show anymore, right? She's, like I said, she's been retired for a few years. But at the same time, I don't know that I have strong feelings about her one way or the other than sexually. Like all men, you know, right. She's a smoke show. Tig old biddies. But
Oprah
anyway,
got no man.
She got a man.
Okay.
Stedman, you kidding?
Stedman,
I know you're quoting Ice-T, but Ice-T needs to check his facts too. Maybe Ice-T's the racist here, but nah. The people filming the video irritated the shit out of me. And this is not a defense of Kid Rock, but they just sat there going the whole time, like, you hear them just, oh my God, he's so racist. That is so racist. Wow, what a racist. I think they just keep saying it. And I think that's why a lot of people picked up on that, because I really didn't hear anything. I mean, is sucking dick sideways a racist comment?
No, I mean, right now I'm going to say that he's absolutely a misogynist.
Yes, of course.
But he's done that his entire career. He's been consistent. There's a through line there.
Exactly. I don't know that he is or isn't a racist. I think him and I share vastly different political views, but that's okay.
Oh, boy.
I do think it's okay to not like Oprah is all I'm getting at. I have no idea how he got to the point where he was doing this, but he was so fucking wasted. And then, of course, he comes out, and this is where I really got a problem with him. He basically blames everybody else. So he went out, and this was his official release. My people tried to get me to do the Oprah Winfrey show years ago, and her people wanted me to write down 5 reasons why I loved her and her show. I said, fuck that, and her, end of story. I'm not sure I do or don't believe that. I don't care. If it 5 years ago... And it's really been burning at you, apparently.
Well, before we go on, what would you write down in that questionnaire? 5 things.
I have to come up with 5, huh?
You got to come up with 5. I'm hard. It's hard for me to get
left
to get
tit, that. Right tit.
What'd you say?
Left tit, right tit. Now I'm the misogynist. God damn it, okay. Luz.
No, I was just saying, I like the fact that you can take her name backwards and call it Harpo and mm-hmm. call it her own company.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Well, I think hey, you know what? The two of us could probably come up with 5. She almost ruined Tom Cruise's career when he came on and jumped on her couch. I thought that was a good thing.
Okay, that's true. That's a pretty good thing to know. But no, if that's actually true, that is a really odd thing, like almost like a qualifier. But
anyway. Like any of that, like that story go, like when you hear that, like, oh, now I get why he was up there saying all this shit fucking hammered. Because no, 5 years ago, they wanted him on the show, and he passed.
Okay, continue, please, Bucko.
All right, so here's his official statement after that. I'm just saying what a lot of people think. Not saying I should be, but sometimes I just do. Oh, well, I have a big mouth and drink too much sometimes. Shocker. I also work hard and do a ton to help others. But that's just back page news because the press hates I love Trump. Fuck them, too. I am what I am. I ain't what I ain't. Real quick, do you think Kid Rock thinks Colin Kaepernick needs more coverage of the charity he does? Pretty much same thing, right? Just going the opposite end. He's fucking hated for his views, and nobody talks about the charity he does. Okay, kid, you got hammered. You shot your mouth off and look like a fool. You can't own it and then act like and come up with this garbage. Give me a fucking break, man. Yo, I did a lot of charity work. I donated money. Therefore, it's okay for me to go on a fucking drunken tirade over Oprah. And frankly, I do think it's okay. Who cares? If he would have just came in my book, I would have been like, had too much to drink last night. Guess I'm pissed at Oprah. Oh, well, sorry. And P.S., I did not get removed from my own bar. Fake news. If anything was leaving and the cops were helping me out. Hey, at least I didn't drive drunk. Again, he wants us to just say, all's good because you didn't fucking drive drunk. I'm sorry, you don't get medals for not driving drunk, right?
Vince Neil does.
Well, that's because he lives in Vegas. But
every week they give him a medal.
But the fake news thing is what got me, because we live in this time now where basically people can believe whatever they want and just dismiss it as lies. I saw the story and I didn't hear anything about him getting tossed out of his own bar. So I looked up, I found 4 news stories. 2 of them said he was assisted off the stage. None of them said he was kicked out of his own bar. Bro, there's a fucking video. You were assisted off stage. You know why? Because you couldn't stand. That's what happens. I mean, Jesus fucking Christ. Now the actual video is lying. So, again, all these lies, all this disinformation, all this stuff is coming from Kid Rock and all this nonsense. Now, he suffered some repercussions, but before I get into that, did you want to say anything?
Well, first off, I think that Kid Rock is not in a very good place right now. I think his brain is basically applesauce. He's quickly on the Mick Mars aging curve. But yeah, I mean, first off, for any man to be drunk enough to go on an Oprah rant.
They're probably getting there tonight.
Fucked up. I mean, what was the conversation before? Did somebody have like her exclusive channel on Sirius XM queued up in his limo or something like that?
Oh, you know, man.
How do you even go there to begin with? You know, how does that conversation, how does that move? So anyway, but the other thing is, yes, misogynist, yes. Racist, he's obviously not racist. First off, he has a black drummer in his band, and he supports Trump.
Yeah, those might be conflicting points to your argument there. But
He plays the Dukes of Hazzard theme live. He eats Papa John's consistently. The man is not a racist.
All right. Well, on that note, did you hear like he lost his restaurant in the Little Caesars Arena in Detroit?
I was wrong. Little Caesars then. See? Because he moved to Papa John's. But please, continue.
All right. So and I think his last statement was that he was he wasn't going to renew his license agreement with a restaurant in the Little Caesars Arena in downtown Detroit. And he appreciates all the people who have patronized the place. He still has much love for the city of Detroit, but fuck all this bullshit kind of thing. They had a statement that said, "We have been in contact with Kid Rock. He has voluntarily decided not to renew his licensing agreement for the Kid Rock's Made in Detroit restaurant, which comes up for renewal in April. We are in the business of amazing, inspiring our fans and guests through an incredible array of world-class sporting and live entertainment events. Our venues are open, inviting, inclusive, and respectful to all. We look forward to bringing a new exciting concepts in line with our company and community values." Their statement, when you read between the lines, sounds an awful lot like, do you want to resign or do you want us to fire you?
Yeah, he was definitely let go. But the point being,
I'm just going to randomly do this.
Yes.
Because of something that happened in Nashville that I caused, you know. And again, we see who the true snowflakes really are, man. You poor baby. All this only happened because you got drunk and shot your mouth off. Again, I really don't think it's that big a deal, but that being said, this is on you, man. You created this.
I mean, listen, I don't see what a big deal is. We've done it for 199 episodes.
You don't see us pulling out of endorsement deals.
Yeah, the only thing we do is pull episodes when Canadians have problems with them. And I'll just summarize it with this, is that, listen, I think there's a lesson we can all learn from this entire episode, and that is that if you are asked to go on the Oprah Winfrey Show and she asks you to tell her five things you love about her, you fill out that fucking questionnaire.
Yes, not that hard.
No, you come up with five things, you go on it, you're not sitting and stewing on it in your big ass honky tonk in Nashville, and your life is much better.
Amen, brother. Preach on. Well
that's
said.
Right. Yeah. And what else we got here?
Well, I guess that's probably enough on the kid. Good luck with your life there, Kid Rock. Can't wait for the next album that apparently is going to be really kick-ass because it's inspired by this shit.
I can imagine he does a whole Oprah Winfrey concept album.
You know what? I'm actually hoping for that now.
Cowboy.
I understand you have a new benefit that we can share with the listeners.
I do, yes. So, you know, I'm not sure which platform that our listeners use. It could be anything from Apple Podcasts to what one is your favorite, Paco?
Well, I like to download it and then have it pressed into vinyl.
Okay, fine. I thought you finally found a podcast app you liked.
I do. I use Podcast Addict for all my podcast streaming.
I've used
a few different ones, including the one I think you're going to mention, Stitcher. They're all fairly compatible. This one worked. This one had a lot of the shows available that I couldn't find on other ones, mainly the Dan Patrick Show.
Well, this one's kind of like that too. So I use Overcast, and I also have always used Stitcher. So Stitcher has a premium service, which you can now get. You can get a trial period. Usually it's just for 1 week. It's called Stitcher Premium, but you actually get it for a full month if you use the coupon code COBRA, just COBRA, all caps. And basically what this does, why don't you ask me what it's all about, Baco?
What's it all about, Luz?
Sure. So what Stitcher does is, let's say that you're, besides listening to Cobras and Fire, you listen to Mark Maron's, you know, WTF show, or just any of your favorite shows you usually hear a shitload of ads on. So first off, Stitcher Premium takes all those ads out.
Even on the ones that I don't know, you mentioned Mark Maron, but the ones that he'll actually say there for like the first 7 minutes of his show, or those are gone?
As I understand, yeah, from the program.
That's pretty big.
Yeah, but also the ones that keep dropping ads in halfway through, in the middle, stuff like that, all those are stripped from the major podcasts.
Okay.
As well as, let's say that your favorite shows, they have, on certain big ones, they have early release shows. So, you know, whenever they're out specifically for Stitcher Premium members. And also they have bonus content. I know that Mark Maron and a bunch of other ones too have that too. So they have extra episodes on it. And they also have exclusive podcasts these are not my genre, but I guess there's a whole Wolverine Marvel series. There's at least like 30 of these in different genres and music podcasts too that are only on Stitcher Premium. But the main selling point of me on all this was no ads, bonus content, early release shows. So in short, you get all those kind of benefits, and it's either $2.92 a month if you sign up for a year, or it's $4.99 a month otherwise. But anyway, so the point is that you can try this out for a month for free if you just use the coupon code COBRA. And if you're already familiar with Stitcher, it's a couple-click process to try it out. So
sure.
That's it.
And there's all sorts of other ways you can find us. You can check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/cobrasandfire. Our Twitter handle is @cobrasfire.com. Back on Facebook, you can join our group, The Cobras on Fire, where you can connect with us and other listeners and share all sorts of silly crap with us. You can hear us every Thursday night at 10 Eastern, 9 Central on the Uncontrolled Noise Radio Network. And, of course, your way to access all this stuff, just go to cobrasandfire.com. You'll find a link to damn near everything I just mentioned, including the thing Luce was just talking about.
So what are we doing now, Baco, since we're done with the oddly placed Kid Rock rant in the top five?
We had to get out of the way because we got business to do here. But let's get right into it. At number five, we have the band Royal Republic with their record Club Majesty. I won't-
gonna love you like no other.
Well, I played that song in the show before, but it is just a killer track. It is the fourth song on the album, Undercover. So this band kind of came out of nowhere with me. I basically got it just in a press release, and they sent the advanced copy, you know, an MP3 of it. And it's a real poppy, kind of almost dance groovy thing, but it still has that, the signatures of rock, you know, with the beats and the guitars and stuff like that. Just real melodic, really well performed, kind of a fun record. I found myself for a couple weeks going back to this album quite a bit this summer, and I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, that one was a little bit of a surprise to me, because I think they're a little more polished than your normal picks, if I understand it. Yeah, but good music is good music. You dig it. You like the whole album in full, though, for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, it's a solid record. You know what I mean? Again, and we'll probably touch on this a little bit. Not a great year for me to pick albums as far as full albums, and a lot of disappointing ones from big timers for me. But this record, I can put on and let it play all the way through without getting annoyed or hitting the skip button. But, at the same time, I'll cherry pick my favorite songs when I'm in the mood.
Very cool. Say, this is actually kind of like a shopping list episode too. That's our intention, is for you guys to check this out and hopefully buy some of this music we're talking about. So we will put all this in the notes, but what are a couple off the top of your head? Give me another two tracks if people are going to go with another.
Well, the lead single on this record was a song called Boomerang, and I thought that was pretty good. I'm trying to think here. There's a song called Can't Fight the Disco, which is kind of fun. And there's one towards the end. It's either Annalie or Bulldog. I'm looking at the list right now. One of those two songs, it just kicks my ass every time.
I also had difficulty definitely coming up with a top 10, but even coming up with a top 5 of albums that I thought were actual great albums. And let me explain and I think we agree about this, but can I tell you my expectations for a great album, please?
Let's hear it.
Okay, so I have heard in other podcasts, one, Growing Up Rock. First off, Pooney, sequencing does matter. I'm not sure if you understand.
He said the opposite?
He said it doesn't matter. They're going through things.
Well, you know, he's a numbers guy.
Yeah, he is a numbers guy. Everything's a number.
It's all ones and zeros to him.
Yeah, he's all data. It's 1 through 11. If you go 1 to 11 and you don't actually skip a number, he's good with the sequence. Overall, just flow, theme, sequencing, you know, do I feel, and I think that this time, my theory is, I'm not going to call it the death of the album, it's going a little too extreme, but I think bands put less effort into the art of the album than they used to because they know people aren't going to buy it in full, and they're going to cherry pick, or they're going to stream it and things like that, so the actual full album, sit down, hit it without putting it into a playlist, start to finish, like the one you just talked about, Royal Republic, is becoming slimmer and harder to find. Yes or no?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of a byproduct of the way things are shifting away from a physical product, because you know we were raised on vinyl and cassettes, and the only oddball in there was back when A-Tracks were still going around. That really threw sequencing, you know, in the shitter.
Sure,
but it turned out nobody liked the damn things anyway, so that worked out. The point being is that there was a process to these. You actually flipped a cassette, you flipped the record or whatever like that, and then when CD came along, it almost took it a different direction where now you were sequencing from top to bottom instead of like beginning to end of two sides, if that makes any sense.
Yep.
But now we're getting to the thing where we're just doing streaming and we're making playlists. And you know, the fact that getting on a playlist is such a key factor to some financial benefits for artists, that just changes the whole mindset of how this stuff goes. Yeah, sadly, I think we are heading in that way. I'm with you. I'm not ready to call the album dead. I do think there's a lot of people out there that are artists that still respect that process and it matters to them. You know, I mean, Michael Sweet comes to mind, but it's just slowly going away. I mean, it eventually, you know, the physical format will be gone, and it's just going to be digested differently, and that's going to affect how it's created.
The album is dead. Long live the EP. The rise of the EP is upon us.
Yeah, I think we can pretty much kill. it seemed like that was the plan, right? Like everybody was like, let's switch to EPs, and it seemed like that lasted a year or two. And now the only people that do EPs are the ones that used to do EPs, new bands. You know,
But I will tell you what's also annoying about the EP rise is the fact that they take an EP. And then they turn it into an album later, right?
Yeah, like Greta Van Fleet.
A lot of them did that whole thing. But yeah,
Or they'll do an album and it'll have like half of what was on the EP. I've never been and will never be a big EP fan. Other than the collecting point, it's just unfulfilling.
Mm-hmm. But in short, it doesn't matter physical or not, people are putting less effort into the art of the album in full. It's just most of the time
of crafting an album.
Crafting an album. It's mostly a collection of 10 to 12 songs that happen to be in one collective entity. That's all I'm trying to say. So,
yep,
but so all my albums in the top 5, and I'm sure yours too, and that we made a collective one, have that requirement. Do you want to add anything more to it? But that's how I look at it. There are definitely albums out there, they're lower, that have some songs probably I like better, but as a whole, these are fucking albums that hit my top 5.
Yeah. The only thing I will add is that like some albums like take it to the next level. I mean, there's all sorts of examples, you know, throughout our lives because of like combination of not just the sequencing but the material, and it's just because it's not as easy as just having 10 great songs and putting them in the right order. It's having the 10. I mean, like AC/DC Back in Black, you couldn't swap out a couple other great AC/DC songs and put them on there, and it would still be the same record. You need those 10 songs in that order, and you need to listen to it like that. It's not a concept record. You can still just play one or two songs if you want, but I'm just saying, these records, I think, all of them at least are really good in the sense of like, they are sequenced well, but I don't think there's anything that's kind of hit that like next level where it's just, you know, timeless. And I do think that might be dead too, like that Appetite for Destruction or the Black Album or, you know, Nevermind, things like
if
that.
If you just move and adjust the moment when Brian Johnson offers to put his love into you, it ruins the whole album.
All right, so what do we got at number four, Luz?
So here's one that completely hits all those requirements we just talked about as an album, and that is Backyard Babies with the album Silver and Gold.
Shadows, angels, crime, seethers of blood. Or is the fluid that I feel a cold sweating flood? The hours of the day and night and weeks. And mashing up into a nightmare where pixels streak. Is this for real or an imaginary world? I gotta keep my head up straight above this world. Gotta stay in focus, don't close your eyes. Gotta scribble my emotions with trees and lies. I'm getting out of my own way. Can't stand to be alone. Kick the demon, take the fight. Good morning, midnight. Well, alright. It's hard to even localize the pain. But my tears are pouring down like driving rain. The dream is real, but the ghosts are out of sight. At the end of this tunnel, I see light. I'm getting out of my own way. Can't stand to be alone. Kick the demon, take the fight. Good morning, midnight.
So Backyard Babies is a band that I've known for a while, but this album came out, Silver and Gold, earlier in the year, and quite honestly, I forgot about it. Got lost in the ether because I listened to a lot of my main source of listening to music is through Spotify. So what I do is every Friday, I'm like a kid at Christmas. It's New Music Friday. I got this new release radar. I add things to monthly playlists. And then of that, those kind of, they're like little cage matches every month. And then certain things rise and certain things die. And then through that process, I start making a yearly top 10 hopeful playlist at the end. These guys made it to that one, but it's one of these bands, again, because there's so many bands that are out there that you kind of lose track on things that are actually great unless you kind of organize it this way, I think. But yeah, so this is an album in full that I enjoy. Just straight up rock and roll. There's a lot of homages to Kiss in it with a whole Ace Frehley solo with with Shoving Rocks, which I actually featured in an episode prior. Ragged Flag is a complete update of New York Groove. And it's just a fun record. So they've been around for a long time. They've always had the exact same lineup. The guitarist in it is called Dragan, who also is part of the Helicopters, if anybody is familiar with them too. But they're very in the same zone too. But just straight up raw rock and roll in the vein of Biters and bands like that. So, and because we're making shopping lists, if you go on Amazon for $15, you can get their vinyl is white vinyl. It has the complete CD with 5 bonus tracks of acoustic songs on it. I have no idea how they're making money. They're not making money on this kind of package they're sending out. But if you're going to buy music, buy this album on vinyl.
I think you're actually finding out is that you don't need to sell it for $30 to make $2.
I guess so, but there's a lot of stuff they had in there. I was surprised.
Well, the CD is probably 10 cents at this point.
Sure. It's
not
listed as a premium package, but that's what showed up, is my point.
Sure. Yeah, Amazon is known for that, though. I think my Wilson that I just bought for $10 was a swirl vinyl colored thing that, you know, came with an MP3 download, and none of that was mentioned.
So because our shows are always filled, as I said, with positive messages for the youth, what are some misses? Things that didn't lead up to expectation.
Well, I know we were both really disappointed, you know, because we had so much. We were anticipating this release so much that it what a letdown it was. The new 2 Chainz record.
Are we still on that? Can we move past the rap commentary for an episode? I don't know what has happened to the show.
That's for debrief. Yeah, there was some pretty big misses for me, mainly from really big artists. I don't know how you feel, but
give me some of your big ones. I have some of mine, but I don't think they're the same.
Slipknot was Slipknot has been pretty consistent for me, and I don't think you're a fan.
No, they've been consistent for me too. It's all terrible.
Yeah, okay, but I've loved everything they've done, and they've actually kind of gotten a little lighter, like, you know, stylistically as they've gone on, which has been fine for me. You know, I mean, the earlier stuff, I kind of liked it when they would squeeze in just a pinch of melody here and there, and so it was nice to see them grow. The new record, it sounds like fucking shit. You know, it's that new modern recording that kind of irritated me with the Glorious Sons record. By the way, that's another one, which we covered quite heavily.
Yeah, we did.
But Volbeat, Greta Van Fleet wasn't really didn't let me down. I was just like, I was surprised. Although that might have been last year, wasn't it?
It was just the very end of last year.
But
let me explain that for Greta Van Fleet is the fact that I don't know if it was this year or last year. It was that forgettable to me.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it was mainly that. It was just like, you know, a band that at least has some promise and some some hype behind them. You know what I mean? So some potential, we'll say, to you know, and anything that kind of puts rock, you know, on the front page a little bit, I think we're in favor of. And so that was disappointing that they kind of came out with just a really flat record, because their 2 EPs are solid. And they're even better when they're squeezed onto one and called an album. I think the other one that I wanted to mention, and again, I think the record was still actually pretty good. I listened to it a couple weeks ago, but it didn't quite live up to my expectations, or at least what I'd hoped, was The Damn Things.
Yeah, that one, spoiler alert, did make my top 10, but
yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, same here, but that kind of, it's kind of a weak top 10, you know?
Right. I mean, that one was, again, because it wasn't an album. It was front loaded. I really enjoyed what I liked on it. You know, like maybe the first, it was like a 4 or 5, you know.
The first 2 hitter. Singles were amazing.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but it's just, you know, for those of that have listened from the beginning, Damn Things is up there for that. Like, it's one of the few, quote, supergroups or side projects that actually worked. And I highly recommend, if you have not heard it, Damn Things, Iconoclast, go listen to it. For those not familiar, it is Scott Ian. It was Rob Caggiano in it. Randomly, 2 guys from Fall Out Boy and some other dude. The guy, who's the singer? The guy from...
Oh, God. Every Time I Die?
Every Time... There you go.
I can't believe I got that quick. Wow.
Yeah, that was good. It was good. I usually get
wrong,
it wrong.
Right?
Every time I forget.
It was probably... he was probably in Chickenfoot.
To go back with one of them, you said Volbeat. You know, I'm a huge fan. Their last album prior kind of show the cracks in the surface where they basically had rewrites of Lola Montez over and over again. They had like maybe two or three songs.
At least it had some hits though. I mean, and I don't mean like hits. I mean like where it hit you, you know, it got you,
right.
Grabbed your attention. This album is just kind of flat all the way through for the most part.
All the way through. And it's called Rewind, Replay, and Rebound. Talk about truth in advertising, right? I mean, yeah. Jesus Christ. So one of the only songs that sticks with me is Die to Live, which has Neil Fallon of Clutch on it. But unlike the Danko, for example, the Danko track on the last album was spectacular, Black Rose, okay? This one kind of wastes him because he doesn't put him in the right pacing. If they didn't tell me it was Neil Fallon, I wouldn't have even noticed it, is my point.
I didn't know. And that's the song I like on the record.
Right, exactly. He does the second verse. And then the other one is The Everlasting. Besides it, I cannot tell you a single thing. The first song on the album, Last Day Under the Sun, has the same riff as Black and White by Michael Jackson. That's all you need to know, people. It's a disappointing album. I'm done.
So Slash played it?
He didn't play on that version either, but it credits him.
All right. Well, let's get to number three then. I think you covered it. I don't have anything to add to that. That Die to Live was the only song that like stuck with me further than the initial listening of the album. But
yep.
Coming in at number three, Luis, who do we got?
Number three, we have Texas Hippie Coalition with High in the Saddle. So this album by Texas Hippie Coalition showed up a bit higher on my personal top 10.
Yep.
And I got to tell you, this is the one that has constantly stayed in every playlist for the year. First off, we interviewed Big Dad Rich earlier this year.
Oh, yeah.
That's perfect, by the way. And if you're not familiar, they are a cross between, I'm going to call it, with the guitar tone, Pantera, with a sense of humor, ZZ Top. They're from, obviously, Texas. They're the best red dirt metal band on Earth, because there is no other red dirt metal band. But point being, they, you know, and also I would compare them to Zakk Wylde's, I think, best solo project, which was Pride and Glory, right after Ozzy, too. Kind of that zone, too. So that gives you enough to a little bit, like some of that vibe. So a little bit more about Texas Hip Hop Coalition. They have, I think, 6 albums. The only albums you really need, as far as albums go, they've all some great songs scattered amongst their discography, is the first one, self-titled. You've got Peacemaker, and then you have this one, High in the Saddle. Now, those 3 albums are great front to back. This one may be my favorite of those 3. They usually pump one out every year. And this one, they took 2 years off. They got together with Bob Marlette, who's worked for everybody from Ozzy to Black Stone Cherry to his list is huge. And the vocals, the vocals on this album from Big Dad Rich, even the actual ballad works, Ride or Die. Huh. It is a spectacularly fun album. I never stop smiling like an idiot when I'm listening to this. It's energetic. The lyrics are clever. I'm not overselling this album. Please purchase it.
Yeah, but this one, this just slipped through the cracks for me. I haven't even heard it yet, and that was definitely not by design. I'm a fan. One of the best live backs out there right now, too. You know what I mean?
And they are playing here on New Year's Eve again at Herman's Hideaway, so I am planning on going and canceling last minute.
Well, I'll definitely be checking that out, and that I might squeeze it into next year's top 10.
Can I tell you some that I was thinking about that actually we missed last year that I want to mention?
Yeah, yeah. Why don't you do that? What do you got?
Okay. So last year, and it wasn't actually, it didn't come out that year too, but there's a band called The Hawkins with an album called Ain't Rock and Roll. It actually came out, I think, a little bit early, but it came on my radar this year. It came out last year. So that's a one to check out there. And also, I think it's a funny name for a band, but it's one that came out, I think, at the end of it, and it would have made my top 5 last year, and that is a band called Massive Wagons. Have you heard of this band?
No.
You like the name, though, don't you?
I do.
They are a British rock band from Lancaster, and just you'll hear any of these bands I'm mentioning, you'll hear some samples in future episodes. But the album Full Nelson you must purchase as well. So add that. I'll add all this in the notes. We want you to purchase music. But
there's a couple of newer bands. At least Eddie Trunk, when he was on the show, he mentioned a band called Dirty Honey. I checked out their EP around that time.
Yes.
That one was it's all right, but I think that there's a lot of promise there, so maybe they got a full length coming out. I know them Evils are supposedly dropping a full album next year. I'm looking forward to that. As far
was
as
that EP this year or last year though?
The EP was last year because I got it. I bought it over Christmas.
Okay, right near the end. Then that's why I didn't remember.
But but back on the Dirty Honey thing, Dirty Shirley, the next George Lynch project. It's not the couple teased tracks have been promising, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, and then you also have Dirty Bitch, which is led by Sharon Osbourne.
So Dirty is the new blue, which was the new black, which was the new ghost, which was the new black.
I think so, and it was the new Lil. So some other notable releases that didn't make. Jesus Christ. So some other notable.
And he had to get that last beer. One more beer.
So some other notable releases that didn't make my personal top 10 or our definitive top 5 are The Weezer. Oh, what the fuck, man? Weezer?
Can we go home? I want one more beer.
Cowboy. Anyway, moving on from The Weezer, we have Joyous Wolf, Place and Time, Amon Amarth, Berserker. We've got Satan Takes a Holiday with the album A New Sensation, which is actually good. That actually was the
that didn't do much for me, honestly. That was another one that I got an advance on. I don't know. Some people recommended it, but it was okay.
Oh, I mean, I'm sorry. That was actually the name of the farewell tour for Slayer. But I mean, I don't know if you know this, but you know that right at the last, when the last chord rang out of their last concert, the entire all music got more melodic. Did you notice that?
I didn't, but I know you've been sitting on that joke. Yeah. Once they announced their farewell tour, you're like, I'm writing this fucker from death.
I'll have to wait a year to say this joke. Keeping it warm, just sitting on my chair.
It's a good joke.
Okay, thank you. Anyway, there actually is a band called Satan.
Yeah, yeah. I was talking about that record, yeah.
Okay, all right. Anyway, but also we have, you know, it didn't make our top albums because it's not an album, but Ghost with 7 inches of Satanic Panic staying on the
same. Man, if that was an album, that would have made my list. That might have been my favorite music purchase of the year.
Right? Describe that. Describe the actual purchase, though.
Well, I got an MP3 of it.
I thought you got the little.
No, that's sold out before. Okay. Yeah, I mean, within like I don't know, it was gone when I first heard about it. Like when they were still taking pre-orders, and it was gone. So.
Yeah. So your favorite purchase was the $2 purchase. MP3. Yeah,
I love those two tracks. They are killer.
Oh, they're fun.
Yeah.
I mean. Yeah, I mean, it'd be cool if they did like a whole 60s album or whatever the zone is they're trying to do with their story.
Yeah, I don't
right?
think it sounds that 60s-ish, but...
That's what the whole video is.
I know. That's why people think that. But yeah, if you didn't...
You listen with your eyes, Baco. Come on. Let's move on to the deuce. What you got?
Ooh, the deuce. Coming in at number two, we have Ron Keel Band with Fight Like a Band.
Songs. I don't know where the time is gone, but I keep on keeping on. Yeah, brother, it's over too, but I'll never stop thinking about me and you. Singing those tunes about Mexico. Whatever we are, that's how we roll. The singers die, but the songs survive. From the heart, three chords in the truth, 'cause that's what we were born to do. How you doing? Where you been? Just thinking about my long lost friends, while the minutes and the days and the years just keep rolling on. The singers die, but the songs remain. It's good to hear your voice again. Just one more thing you need.
know. Yeah, brother, it's what we do, but who we are is still me and you. Singing those tunes about Mexico, 'cause that's how we roll. The singers die, but the songs survive. Times and good, we wrote the best songs we could. Hey, man, sorry it's been so long. I've been out on the road singing my songs. I don't know where the time has gone, but I keep on keeping on.
All right, Baco, why don't you step out of the hot tub and right up to the mic and discuss this album. What say you?
Oh, man. Well, the Ron Keel Band released Fight Like a Band, I don't know, was it February or March? Earlier this year, fairly early. And of course, you know, we've had him on to talk about the record. And anybody that wants to go back and check all that stuff out, it's available for you. But I was blown away by this record. When I first heard it, It was like almost like I wasn't sure if it was as good as I thought it was. You know what I mean? It's like, am I just like a little, you know, like clouded? Is my judgment clouded because I'm a fan? That kind of deal. Like I'm trying to like it a little more than I did.
Sure.
But I kept going back to this album, and I still do. Much like you mentioned, Texas Hippie Coalition. This one was a little higher up on my list. People at this point could probably figure out where that would be, but we'll get to that pretty soon. You know, but. I can't believe, like, I mean, there's almost a two part to this thing too, because like the other his last record, a solo without this band, some of the guys are on it, I think, but not the whole formed band,
right?
But it was just Ron Keel Metal Cowboy, came up on Amazon and it was like on sale for like $15 on vinyl, so I'm like, fuck, sold. I couldn't believe how good that record was. I was like, why have I been sitting around not, you know, listening to this too? You know what I mean? I think Ron Keel really found his zone, this kind of southern rock, kind of a cross
right
between his country and kind of metal stuff. And you, because you can hear elements of Keel in some of these songs and some of the stuff on Metal Cowboy. But I think he has really found his home, and this is an album. The only complaint I would have would be the Keel medley. I think it's a little unnecessary, but the more I listen to it, the more I actually kind of look forward to it, because I do think he's singing better now than he did in Keel. It's like he became an actual polished singer over the years. And it, look, I wrote an article for this on Decibel Geek. We had Ron on the show. I gushed and gushed over this album, and nothing has changed. This album has stayed true, stayed in my playlist, and Metal Cowboy is in my collection because of this album, and I might even like that record a little bit better.
I can't really add anything to that. I can tell you that I had never heard any Keel, Ron Keel Band, Steeler, any of that. And the interview you had with him made me want to check out the album when it came out, that one interview you did, and I was not disappointed. It is in that zone of, you know, a Texas Hippie Coalition, that southern rock. It's just,
yeah,
it's just very, a very enjoyable listen. Great.
And the band is so good.
Yeah, I know. Like I said, I completely, you know, scheduled myself to go see him live and then cancel at the last minute, as I usually do. And that was all queued up for me to do. And I feel bad not seeing him. He seems like a straight up dude, but yeah, this is definitely made my top 10 on my list also.
And I should say that we just played the song "Hey Man." It's actually the closing song on the album. And go definitely look. We, as much as we've talked about him, I don't think we have to go too much further. But if you've liked the stuff we've played from this album, definitely go out and buy it. That's what we're trying to say about all these records. Invest in music is really all I'm trying to get at. But I've owned every record that I put on my top 10. I've purchased and downloaded or bought the vinyl or the CD, sometimes both, you know, because I'm a hoarder. Yeah, this album to me is the record of the year. But, yeah, definitely for the Cobras and Fire, this is number two, and it well-earned, I think.
I should say, too, I'd like to do a quick rant, if I may.
Yeah, you know I'm always up for a rant.
Good. Well, like you just said, it's been, like I started last year, I said, I am going to purchase at least my top five albums of each year on vinyl. Do you remember I made that commitment?
I do.
I also made that commitment this year and have only been able to pull off one so far because they're not available, because they come out weeks after they actually come out to the world. And then they sell out because they only make so many copies.
I'm not sure what titles you're talking about. Any of the vinyl I've wanted, I've had no problem getting, except for that 7-inch Ghost single. Now, that part's kind of out of the artist's hands, though. They can either just delay everything.
Fine, the music label. They're losing tons of sales. I'm not going to wait a month. They should have it lined up. The company should have it lined up. If they have a release date, it's the same thing as saying a release date. We're going to have this movie streaming, but we're not going to have it on DVD or Blu-ray the same day of the release.
It does seem like Rat Pack Records, which isn't exactly Universal Music.
They're on
group.
Time.
Yeah, they always have it ready. I got my John Corabi album, I think, 3 days before it was supposed to be released. I saw the Michael Sweet package. People were sharing that days before it came out. You know, before the actual album came out, you know what I mean? I mean, Rat Pack seems to be on top of their shit, so it can be done, it seems like. But I do know manufacturing with vinyl is backed up for the most part because most of the plants kind of closed down in the 90s or late 80s, and now they're kind of like just trying to now get back to where they can, you know, keep up with this new demand that there is.
Listen to me. It's project management. You have a schedule, you work it out, you come out with a release date, and you have your shit lined up. That's all it takes, Baco.
How the fuck can Rat Pack Records, of all the labels, just have this shit fucking figured out? It's like, because they're, I mean, everything I've gotten from them, it's like it's well printed. It's like the cover itself is really sturdy, great. It's properly mastered. There's always all sorts of extra bonus crap you don't need thrown in there. That's kind of fun to look at. Yeah, and I will say this. I mean, as people in our business, right? Like, you have to be a fucking idiot if you want to piss off somebody at that label because they do everything right.
Hey, Baco, on a side note, did you remember to share all the Rat Pack releases you've ever been sent to you?
I try to. I really do. It's really important. That's the only way things work. You know what I mean?
Rat Pack 2020.
Rat Pack 2020. Well, let's get to our number one, huh? I'm going to do it. Can you do a little drum roll? We'll do it together.
Please.
Well, coming in at number one on the Cobras and Fire official definitive top five albums of 2019. What do we got, Loose Cannon?
Danko Jones with A Rock Supreme.
Ka-ching. I don't know why I did that, but I wanted to.
Good. Well,
now I'm going to go beep, beep.
Please don't do that again. but yeah, man, what, you want to start with this? Because I'm going to finish with this one.
You know what? Yeah, I'll just say this. Danko is a big reason the two of us are talking right now. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and I'm pretty sure Danko Jones is going to be in studio for the recording of that.
Sure. Why not?
Disclaimer. He is not going to be there. but yeah, our love for Danko Jones is no secret. He's one of the bands that we pushed heavy, and bands, artists, whatever you want to say, and rightfully so. He's fabulous. He's a good looking man. He creates hard working music for hard working Americans and Canadians and Filipinos and everybody,
and
right?
Swedens.
In Sweden's. Believe me, people are saying. But yeah, this album was, I'm so happy this album was as good as it was, because Black Cat was not too bad, nope. But it was definitely better than Fire Music. And these are the records that have come out since, like, you know, we started the show. And it was like, fuck, is this guy done? And boy, he came back with just a killer fucking classic Danko Jones album.
Yeah, this is his best since Below the Belt. And I would say it's up there with the classic feel of Born a Lion, those type of albums. And yeah, like they said, his last ones have been good, but kind of with Danko, what it is for me is it's almost like it's like those AC/DC albums that are okay. You know what I mean? Like almost a bad Danko song is as bad as a bad AC/DC song. You know what I'm trying to say here?
Good comparison, yeah. It's actually, I would say with both, when they're bad, they're really just boring.
There you go. It's just kind of there. And on this one, it seems like he took a little bit more time. He definitely took a lot more time with his vocals, because everything is top shelf as far as his performance on here. And that's where I think the last few kind of that were seemed rushed. If you listen to him back to back, and yeah, he's got so much attitude and swagger on there. The riffs are there, but also there's these little nuances you throw, you know, Danko Jones and all these things, they're just straight up rock and roll, but there's little, things that are added into the songs that take elevate them from the bridges to, I'll give you an example, like that song That Girl, where basically the main riff is basically this loop of feedback. It's like really cool kind of things that stand out. But
yeah.
But I mean, my kids even like this. Dance, Dance, Dance is insanely catchy. Party is just, you know, you can't not have a smile. I've said this, my personal top five of this, every single one of these albums just elevates my mood. But before we get to this final track that we're going to feature, you want to break down our personal top tens?
Yeah, you want to go first? You want me to?
You go first, please. You have the floor.
Yeah. Coming in at number 10, I had Queensryche with The Verdict, Tool with Fear Inoculum, Michael Sweet with 10, Bad Flower with Okay, I'm Sick, The Damn Things with High Crimes, The Circle, Sammy Hagar's little band, with Space Between, The Holy White Hounds with an amazing record called Say It With Your Mouth, comes in at number 4 for me. At number 3, Royal Republic, which we talked about, Club Majesty, and of course, Danko, Rock Supreme. And my number 1 record of the year was the Ron Keel Band with Fight Like a Band.
There you go. All right.
Buy all these records, fuckers.
That's right.
It's only going to cost you about $100.
All right. And all this will be in the show notes, people, if you want to take a look.
Cool.
So my number 10.
What say you, man? What does Loose Cannon have for his top 10?
Yes. My number 10 is Sheryl Crow with Threads, which also has tons of guest stars, Keith Richards, Joe Walsh. Goodbye June with Community Inn. New Roses with Nothing But Wild. The Menzingers with Hello Exile. Damn Things with High Crimes. I think we both have that at number 6. Cool. Number 5, Eclipse with Paradigm, Danko, Rock Supreme, Bad Religion, Age of Unreason, number 2, Backyard Babies, Silver and Gold, and my number 1 is mentioned in our top 5, Texas Hippie Coalition, High in the Saddle.
Nice.
So,
right on. Yeah, and I believe all of these are in Oprah's CD of the Month. Take that, Kid Ooh. Rock. You know what record didn't make my top 10 this year? Kid Rock's. Was
I don't know. Who cares? He isn't putting anything out.
Sugar Pie, Honey Bun.
What a terrible cover. But yeah, man. So that's but I don't know about for you, but once I get past 5, like that right at that border, the Eclipse, like it's spotty. That 6 through 10 is like there's a few tracks on each one of those albums I like, you know.
Well, you notice when I was counting down, the first one I said at a great record was The Holy White Hounds, and that was number 4.
There you go,
I believe.
See?
And from there on up, I think those are just all A's. And you know, my number 5 was probably a B plus.
Yep.
So anyway, what song are you going to play off of Danko before we get out of here?
Yeah, I'm going to pick the track Lipstick City, and I'm going to tell you why. Because if you are getting to know Danko Jones, this song has every little bit of attitude from songs like Lover Call, Things in the Beginning. It's nothing but a pure rock, I am horny, and I want a party kind of song.
Nice.
And the way that his vocals absolutely kill on this. The way he emphasized the word strut to all these, the way he says the word balls. These are big words. These are important words in rock and roll, people, balls and strut. And then just when you think the song is, okay, this is pretty good, then this amazing melodic solo kicks in. And then there is this rant that just goes for a minute, pretty much. I'll just call it a rant, where it's just endless, like, and just closes out the song. And, That's the song I'm picking. Anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, you touched on it. First of all, you described it great, so I don't have a whole lot more to add. But his inflection and the way he kind of delivers lyrics, he almost comes across a lot like a hip-hop artist where it's almost tongue-in-cheek, but very much like a hip-hop artist. When you hear him talk, they're very serious about it. He is 100% the real deal. And I like I said, I couldn't be happier that he came through with an album that really knocked it out of the park in our time. You know what I mean? Because all his best work up to this point was, you know, before you and I actually met. So it's
that's right.
He's very much a big part of this show as far as I'm concerned. So way to go, Danko. Album of the year, fucker.
That's right.
Rock's not dead.
But the art of making an album is...
Nostalgic. It's easy as a 1, 2, 3. Take a chance, don't make plans, let it be. I guarantee you gonna love it. If you bring vanilla, I'll bring the chocolate.
We were both really disappointed, you know, because we had so much, we were anticipating this release so much that it, what a letdown it was. The new 2 Chainz record.
Are we still on that? Can we move back?
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.